Grace is yours and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God serving as our text, our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, as previously read. In Christ Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, dear fellow redeemed, all eyes were on Jesus. And for good reason. He had spent that day teaching the people, healing their sick, and when the hour grew late, he even fed them, many thousands of them, with nothing more than five loaves of bread and two small fish. Yes, all eyes were on Jesus. Now we can understand why. The crowd saw in Jesus a man who could do away with the problems that come from living life in a world ruined by sin. That's what these people wanted more than anything. In fact, in his gospel, John tells us that they had on their minds to make Jesus king, if necessary. These people were looking for someone to help them, but in ways that they couldn't even understand. Jesus, realizing that the crowd didn't have a clue about his saving mission, dispersed them before things got out of hand. He put his disciples in a boat, and then, as he so had often done before, he went off to pray by himself. The crowd, of course, was right to see Jesus as someone special. Where they went wrong is that they didn't see how special he really is. For them, Jesus was a means to a happier life on earth. They wanted Jesus to be their bread king, their doctor, their secretary of defense, all rolled into one, convinced that such a man would put away the things that scared them and those doubts and fears would cease. What they failed to realize, as we often do, is that doubts and fears come from within. They're the product of a sinful heart. You can have all the food and the health and the security that's possible, and yet it won't stop us from worrying about tomorrow. For that, we need Jesus. We need Jesus to do for us what he came here to do, namely, to free us from the curse of our sin. And so today and always, keep your eyes on Jesus. See him as God who is with you, and see him as God who is for you. As I mentioned, Jesus, when he could see the crowd was going in the wrong direction, immediately put his disciples in the boat, perhaps to keep them from falling prey to that tempting notion of making Jesus king. But whatever the reason, this boat ride was going to give the men some opportunity to talk about the things they had seen and heard that day. They were struggling to make sense of it all. Mark in his gospel tells us that they had not understood about the loaves. But as it turns out, any such conversation would be cut short because soon a violent storm came down upon them, a windstorm. And they were now struggling at the oars, trying to keep their boat from capsizing. I wonder if those men thought to themselves, or maybe even somebody dared to say aloud, "Thanks for the boat ride, Jesus." If those men were thinking that Jesus was oblivious to what was going on in their lives, they were dead wrong. Again, it's Mark in his gospel who tells us that even though Jesus was alone on the land when his disciples were 3 miles out in the middle of the sea, nevertheless, Jesus saw that the disciples were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. What a comforting reminder for you and me. So often trouble has a way of making us feel alone and forgotten. But that's never the case. Jesus always knows what's going on in our lives. He sees us straining at the oars of every problem we have. And not as some disinterested bystander, but one who wants to be with us, one who cares deeply. Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. See that he is God with you. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. He was determined to be with his disciples. The loving gesture, however, was misunderstood. Those disciples started to scream in fear, thinking they were seeing a ghost, a phantom, perhaps an omen of their own impending deaths. That's the way it works with fear, right? It has a way of multiplying. You and I have a saying, when it rains, it pours. Like those disciples, we tend to see the worst in our circumstances. And as the troubles pile up, we convince ourselves that we are doomed to be miserable. Again, Jesus sets the record straight. He says to his disciples then and now, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." With that simple phrase, "it is I," Jesus speaks more than meets the ear. In the New Testament language of Greek, Jesus says quite literally, "I am." Take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. I am. Sound familiar? Same name that God used in addressing Moses, another man filled with fear and doubt. When Jesus speaks those words to us, he says, "I am your God. I am here with you." I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice the way that Jesus went to those men. He didn't beam over to them on a ray of light. He didn't float or fly to them. He walked. He walked on the very water that was scaring them to death. Jesus shows us that he walks on the waters of everything that scares us. What scares you today? Your finances? Is it your health or that of a loved one? Are you terrified at the notion of being alone in life? Are you afraid for your kids or grandkids and the choices that they're making? Take courage. Don't be afraid. Jesus is at your side. He's walking on the waters of all those fears and any others that you might be having, which is simply another way of saying that Jesus is in charge. He's in control of the things that scare us. Really? Well then why are they still in our lives? Why doesn't Jesus make these things go away? Because he has a perfect plan to use these things in a way that he knows is best for us, in a way that's going to bring us his eternal blessings. That's not some wishful thinking. That's the sure and certain promise of God. We heard it again from the inspired pen of Paul. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't get clearer than that. And yet, doubt attacks us by trying to poke holes in these clear promises of God. I know how it works in my life. Trouble comes, and I begin to doubt that I am one who is called according to God's purpose. I begin to doubt that I'm really numbered among those who love him. And so I start doubting that I can count on his promises. Now, if you're listening to those doubts of mine, if they're familiar to you, please recognize this. All those doubts take the attention off of God and put the focus on me. And that's where the trouble starts. Doubt did the same thing with Peter. Right? When Peter recognizes that it's Jesus coming to him on the water, his faith soars. He says, "Tell me to come to you on the water." Come, Jesus said. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. All was well, until suddenly it wasn't. What happened? Well, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, right? I mean, he started to look at the wind and the waves and must have thought to himself, I don't walk on water. I'm going to die. And down he went. Now, did Peter lose his faith in that moment? Well, not at all. In fact, in that instant, his faith did what God creates faith to do. It looked to Jesus, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. In that moment, as always, Jesus had a lesson to teach to Peter and now to us. It's a lesson that is driven home with a simple question. You of little faith, Jesus said, why did you doubt? Why did Peter doubt? You think of all the things he saw in that day alone, right? Miraculous healings, feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, and then his own hike on the high seas. Why would he doubt? Why do you doubt? Why do I? I ask myself that question all the time. I get so frustrated with my lack of faith. Maybe you can relate. Troubles come, and sometimes I don't even think to mention the problem to God in prayer. I'm pretty sure this one I can handle, right? I'm clever enough, I'm tough enough to weather the storm. And then suddenly I realize, oh, this is one of those problems that brain and brawn don't solve. I need help. And about that time, I start to look inward, thinking, my faith will see me through this. And yet I find myself sinking, and now I start to ask, what is wrong with my faith? Why am I feeling like this? This shouldn't happen. I'm a Christian. But once again, if you listen, you're going to hear that the focus is in the wrong place, right? As I try to put faith in faith itself instead of in faith's creator. When that happens, I find faith so elusive. Well, of course I do, because I can't get my hands on it. I can't take faith and put it under a microscope to see it. I can't weigh it on a scale. That's not how faith works. Faith is this. It's this beautiful, invisible gift from God. It's this spiritual organ that he plants in us at our baptism, and its sole purpose is to receive and to embrace the saving promises of God. Faith isn't something to look for and find. Faith is something to feed. Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Christians, when we're in crisis, don't stop and look for your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Read his word. Come to his table. Taste and see that he is your God who is for you. He will speak to your faith and strengthen it. He will reach out his hand and catch you. How can you be sure? Well, because of the tremendous sacrifice he's already made for you. It's all about that sacrifice. You heard Paul say it again. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God's one purpose, his sole purpose for sending Jesus is to have you with him forever. To that end, Jesus lived his life perfectly. To that end, he has given you all the credit for his perfect trust in God's will, even when that will sent him to the cross to make payment for your fear and doubt, your sinful self-reliance, and all the other sins that stain your life and mine day after day. It was with this purpose in mind that he called you to faith in Jesus and with this purpose in mind, that he moved you to love him by loving you first. God's love for you is boundless. It's unfailing. Nothing could stop it from making you his own. And nothing will stop it from keeping you his own. That's what Jesus is busy doing at this very moment. He's walking on the waters of your life to make sure that you are his forever. Believe it, my friend. No matter what's going on in your life right now, whether it's smooth sailing or turbulent seas, keep your eyes on Jesus. See that he is God with you. See that he is God for you. And because he is, know that nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen. Please stand.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.